Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everyone. I'm Kay Thompson, and welcome to Kay Thompson Live. We're waiting for the music to cue us in. We're not able to get into the studio tonight, but I just wanted to let you know that we are here, and we're going to be reporting to you the story of the interview that we did with Amiri Baraka the other day.
Right.
Because
this is Eric Payne. Can you hear me
there? Yes, I can. Yes.
Okay.
Eric, because we've gotten so many calls, you know, about people wanting to, you know, see and hear, you know, the
right.
interview with Mr. Baraka again, that's exactly why we're going to be repeating it. So for all those people
right.
who have called, may requesting that we repeat the interview with Amiri Baraka and Mrs. Amina Baraka, we are just going to take a minute, Eric and I, and we're going to be repeating the conversation and the interview that we have of him.
Right, right. We're going to run the conversation again that you had with Mr. Baraka. If we can...
Yes.
As everybody should know by now, unfortunately, Amiri Baraka has passed away, and you have personal experiences. Obviously, you knew him for a very long time, and you and my father, during the time of your marriage, my father having gone to high school with
him.
a former Assemblyman William Payne, the late Congressman Donald Payne also passed away. Actually, I think him and my Uncle Donald, as I call him, and Mr. Baraka actually were closer in age, and they ran on the track team together there at Barringer High School in Newark, New Jersey. And then you knew him, Mom. You want to talk about how you first came to know Mr. Baraka?
Yes, sure. Actually, I knew him because of his sister, Sandy. And Sandy passed away some time ago. What had happened was that we had the Thompson Dance Studio at the time, and that's when I met Sandy Jones, and we all became friends, and we had a little dance group led by Dr. Gwendolyn Goldsby Grant. And Sandy and I became quite close over the years. And we also knew, Amiri Baraka. It's hard to say knew because his presence is so very, very strong. But I just want to let people know, Eric, that a viewing for Amiri will be held from 4 to 9 p.m. Friday at the Metropolitan Baptist Church in Newark. And his going away service will be at 10 a.m. Saturday at Newark Symphony Hall. So we should probably, you know, repeat that again, that the viewing for Amiri Baraka, poet, writer, great, great, great man and good friend, will be held 4 to 9 p.m. Friday at Metropolitan Baptist Church in Newark. And
right.
his going away service will
his
be 10 a.m. Saturday at Newark Symphony Hall. And he was said, Raz Baraka said he hoped his father would be remembered as a poet and a writer who believed the job of art is to oppose what is ugly and who never accepted the status quo. And that's quite a saying or a thought, you know, to leave people with. That's so very true, and I thank Raz for that.
Right, and I like to say that, you know, growing up and hearing about him and knowing of him through my parents, obviously, as I went to school, Hampton Institute, and later became Hampton University, you know, we, of course, and you have to take black literature courses in high school, and, of course, later on in college, we studied Leroy Jones, his given name, or his government name, as he probably would say. And I always felt that here was a man that my father knew, and in one of his books he talked about my father, my uncle, in the political realm. And I always felt that kinship to him. But what was even better is that when we discussed his work as a playwright and poet, I felt akin to him, and I felt a sense of pride. And I did that because here was a man that was born in the same city I was from, always represented Newark in a positive light. Never, you know, people tried to make Newark the armpit of the country almost at certain times. And, you know, if you're born from Newark, New Jersey, no matter where you go and move to, you always remember that as being home, as any person would have for their hometown. So, you know, we always, people that are born in Newark, New Jersey, always are going to be protective of it and talk about it despite what the larger world knows, because they don't know the people that live there. And I always felt
Absolutely.
That kind of encouraged by his success as someone that had gone into a field that I was trying to embark in. And without ever knowing it, he actually encouraged me just to know that he had achieved some of the things that I was aspiring to. And he achieved them on his own terms. He didn't, you know, there's a great temptation, and I'm sure folks at GoPro Radio can tell you, would attest to as well. There's a great temptation sometimes to want to be a crossover and make a lot of money and go mainstream. Mr. Baraka never did that. Some things to him weren't for sale. And as I began to grow in the career that I was in, I realized that some things weren't going to be for sale.
And,
you know, brothers, black men having to wear dresses and always be the brunt of jokes, that wasn't going to be for sale for me. I wasn't going to play those type of roles. And if I had to go hungry, then I just would. And that's kind of a tribute to the giants like him, those shoulders that I stood upon. So, and I fortunately, in my senior year of college, I got to interview him as for my senior thesis. Asked Dad if he could make a call. He called Mr. Baraka. He granted an interview for me, and I went over to his house in 1982 and interviewed him, early part of 82, and interviewed him. And I guess Roz and those other guys were playing in the background because I could hear kids in the house running around. And he's a bit, Roz is a little bit younger than I am. And sat and talked with him for quite some time. And ever since that time, when I would always see him, I would talk to him and be able to talk to him and have that kinship with him. So I always appreciated him. Go ahead, you were
and
saying?
And I should say, too, Eric, that his books, The Toilet, Dutchmen, Blues People, I used Blues People when I was teaching, of course, you know, at the college, and I wanted to really wanted to thank him for that. I did get a chance to thank him for that. But one thing I want to tell people, too, is Amiri Baraka had quite a great sense of humor. Quite a great sense of humor. He was a great person. He is a great person, and we'll be talking continually about him as we go on. But right now, I think we're going to break, or we're going to go right to the tape, right to the interview with Eric, myself, and Amiri and Amina Baraka.
With yourself and Mrs. Baraka. I'm not in. Not in that interview.
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio. Okay, good evening, everyone. Hello and welcome. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. Wow, look at me up there, Mr. Baraka.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, look at that. Hey, I should look so good now. How are you, Amiri Baraka?
I'm all right.
Such a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, long time.
That's right. Many years ago.
Want to say how many?
I don't want to say it.
Such a long, good time ago. Anyway, everyone, this is GoPro Radio Network, and we are here with BW Moving Images, and we are the news, information, education, and global communication internet station, True News. I'm Kay Thompson. And how do we do this? Well, we have to do constant research confirming our stories, and we get different stories from all over the globe, by the way, Amiri. And we are global communications, which is what I want to say about global communications issues. And we want to welcome you, Amiri Baraka, playwright, actor, poet laureate from the state of New Jersey, you know, playwright, I mean, jazz musician, jazz, I can't say analyst, but presenter. You know, if I'm going to be dropping all these adjectives on you, don't you think you should drop a few on me? Well, welcome. We're really very glad to have you. And what's going on with you these days?
Well, I'm still writing. I'm right now working on this book on Max Roach. I inherited about 10,000 pages of his, and I'm trying to go through those pages, pull out the replications, and then add some other stuff of my own, you know. So that's deep in that right now. Also, I'm starting a book on the governor of Massachusetts, a father.
Oh, really?
Who was
the present governor of Massachusetts?
Yeah, he was a jazz musician. He played with Sun Ra. His father was
really,
Pat Patrick.
Really? Oh, no kidding.
And they found his archive of stuff in Chicago, and they were going to throw it away, but somebody said, well, no, I should send this to the governor. And once the governor got it, he got in touch with Berklee College, the music school up in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And this professor, Bill Banfield, called me and said, come up there and evaluate. And I went up there. It's fantastic. They've had a show of his. The governor has given Berklee College permission to print the stuff and do the soap.
Yeah.
And that. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an interesting book.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. A lot of people don't know, you know, A lot of people in Jersey know and throughout the country. But, you know, some of these younger people may not know that you're one of the most respected, you know, writers, poets, musicians. I've seen your work. As I told you the other day, you know, at Gus's memorial service in Newark at Dr. William Howard's church.
Yeah.
That I had used one of your books as my textbook when I was teaching out there at William Patterson College.
Well, my royalty.
Blues people.
My royalty payments, thank you.
That's so good to know. Anyway, you're a writer, you're a playwright, you know, and you're also one of the most interesting, fascinating, and exciting activists.
Well.
And we go back a long way into Newark, and you caused change. You spearheaded a movement, you know, in New Jersey. Tell us about those days.
Well, I guess the first thing, we helped elect the first black mayor,
mm-hmm.
Ken Gibson, which was the first black mayor of a major northeastern city in Newark at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because the town was so racist, you know, this racist regime that gave, according to the courts, 1% of Newark's budget to the mob every, you know, every
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
So the mayor then was named Amnesia. He got locked up, and then he died. And so when I came back to Newark, discovered that, you know, the population actually was such that there were more blacks registered.
Yeah.
In Newark. People didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
We went on, my wife, Nina, who I married when I got here, we went on a drive to not only get people to register, but to do things in the city, you know, like the thing African preschool.
Yeah.
Started and we did that all the way up to, what is it, grade 8. And
wow.
And then we gave it up because, you know, you'd have to then start taking money from the state. You take money from the state, you're the hostage.
Yeah.
You know, you can't do that. But that was the first thing we did. And we had formed this organization, the Committee for Unified Newark, which led to the Congress of African People. We spearheaded the Black and Puerto Rican Convention
yes.
in Newark. Which led
yes,
to,
remember that. Yeah, I remember
which
that.
To the election of Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
We then put together this National Black Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
In Gary, Indiana, you know, 9,000 people came.
Yes.
And that was really the beginning of the kind of expansion of the Black Caucus.
Yeah.
You know, and then we had, we expanded the organization. We existed in about 15 states, and we began to give these African ambassadors balls to
yes.
bring us to the Black Liberation Movement, the African Liberation
yes.
Movement, because at the time, Africa, I think, was in a healthier state than it is now because they were fighting the enemy. Now they're being collaborating with them and getting co-opted.
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, began to do work in the community, and after a while, Gibson, according to me, became less effective. And so we then elected Sharp James.
Yeah, but what happened to Gibson's administration? I mean, because it was all, you know, everybody was so enthused about him being, you know, the mayor.
Yeah.
He ran twice, right?
Yeah. No. He was in 12 years, 16 years. Mm-hmm. He's been there a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
The problem was that a lot of people, when they run for office, they become so enamored of the office that they get,
yeah.
that they forget the movement that brought them there,
mm-hmm.
you see. So a lot of the things that Ken swore to do, you know, in, say, the various kind of, gathering for the election, you know, the various conventions,
yeah.
and you know, like we were supposed to take over WBGO. You know, that was my suggestion.
Jazz Radio.
Yes, right, because right it now. Was yeah. at the time it was a high school station.
That's right, because it was located in Central High School, way up there in
That's
the
right.
summer. I remember that, yeah.
And then he reneged on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and sent it to a group of white folks in the suburbs.
Wow.
But then I think what it was my presence. You know, I put the board together and everything
yeah.
like that. And I think people outside of the city, probably the D.C., told them that wasn't a good idea. We were supposed to take over the cable television station.
Yeah.
You know, and broadcast black history into the you know, the classrooms.
Yeah.
Now, is there any reason you could think of why you wouldn't do that? You know, but, you know, he reneged on that. So,
but why? What was the reason for him reneging on that?
Well, the reason he would give would be, you know, he like
money?
He told me once, well, he said he didn't want the radio station to be owned by private enterprise. It's owned by Prudential. I don't
yeah.
know what he's talking about.
Mm.
But he was talking about black private ownership,
mm-hmm.
which he apparently couldn't deal with, that idea. They took cable. They outlawed it in New Jersey, you know. It was incredible. And finally, when it came back, it was a group of Negroes who got it, but they frivoled it away.
Yeah.
But suddenly you could not get access to Ken, even though we worked, you know, I mean, 24 hours a day, you know what I mean? So then it was Sharp. And Sharp, I think, was a much better mayor. You know, and, you know, he had his problems, and certainly I criticize him more than anybody, as he loves to tell people now. But some of the things he did led them, so the present governor of New Jersey, you know, Chris Christie, got there because he put Sharp in jail.
Uh-huh. You know,
Christie mm-hmm. was the chief prosecutor in his trial.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm.
And so when he... jailed, you know, when he jailed Sharp, then his stock rose in racist New Jersey
yeah.
1,000,000,000%. And so he's there now, you know, a 400-pound mayor.
Just in case people have forgotten about that, they really need to read, you know, how he got there.
Yeah.
You know, because of, you know, jailing Sharp. Well, what did he want, 20 years at first? For what?
Well, it's crazy.
Yeah.
He served finally 18 months, mm. which is a long time to be locked up.
Yeah.
You know, he served 18 months, came out. Then they went and got $94,000 extra dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still involved in politics, contemporary politics. Our son, Amina, my son, Raz, is running for mayor.
Yeah, he's in city council right now.
Yeah, he's the South Ward councilman.
Yeah. Also, he is also an extraordinary principal.
Yeah.
Over there at Central High School.
Central High, yeah.
Yeah, Millie Harris is over there, extraordinary teacher over there dealing with the. She developed a program dealing with children whose parents are incarcerated.
Yeah.
And I forget the man's name who, you know, was dealing with drugs, and he is now. You know, some doing things in the community to try to, you know, make things a little better. But Raz, is it Raz or Roz?
Raz,
okay. Yeah, he's tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he like what he's doing.
He's very good, you know, principal administrator. And I think that people, when he was running for the South Ward councilman, people were saying, well, how can you be the councilman and, you know, the principal at the same time? And he quoted my wife, who said, you know, you were born on Paul Robeson's birthday. He said, my mother told me I was born on Paul Robeson's birthday. I could do many things.
So. Okay. Yeah, I could understand
Which is
that.
True,
yeah. I'm hoping that we can get Mrs. Baraka in here also because she is quite a musician, a poet, a writer.
Yeah.
Powerful force, absolutely powerful force. So if we can get her in here, Muhammad, if you'd ask her to come and join us, I would be really greatly appreciative.
Yeah.
But this has been long in coming. You know this. We just saw each other again at Gus's memorial service. I was just saying that earlier. And it was so good sitting next to you and, you know, just reminiscing through the people who are making their presentation. What did you think about the memorial service,
by
the way?
Well, I thought it was a strong showing of of support.
Yeah.
You know, with Ken there and Junius Williams and those people, they gave they gave a strong kind of showing. You know?
Yeah, really good, really good. And we are joined by Mrs. Baraka. Amina, hello, how are you? Get close to your mic. It's so good to see you. Yeah, are we okay in there? You know, just want to make sure. You want to put your mics on? I mean, your headphones on, right here.
Okay.
Right here, yeah. Yeah. Listen, I remember, I never got to tell you two this, but I remember when there was this jazz program down at PAC, and it was in Victoria. And we were sitting in the audience, Gus and I were sitting there, you know, waiting because Mary had just made his appearance on stage. And all of a sudden, no, it was before you made the appearance on stage, and all of a sudden something started rising in the back. Do you remember that? This big, huge balloon. Do you remember that? With the jazz figure playing the piano. Remember that?
Yeah.
That huge balloon, yeah. And I was absolutely amazed. It was so effective.
Yeah, that was the vodka thing.
Oh,
remember that?
And Willie the Lion Smith.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
oh,
see, yeah. I remember that. And then you were in it, and I said, well, if this isn't something, the recognition of the wives, I'm very happy to hear that.
You know, they took that show that we presented, you know, The Life of Willie the Lion Smith, and the TV station duplicated that.
Oh, really?
With a white person playing the piano and put it on the thing.
You got to be kidding. What TV station had the nerve to do such a dumb thing?
I don't know. It was a TV down the street there.
Let's call them out.
Union. I don't even remember. I think I blanked on that.
Dummies. But anyway, Amina, tell me, what's going on with you these days? Are you writing poetry? Are you speaking? Are you singing? Or what?
Well, I'm not doing any of that at this point. I'm trying to support my son. He's getting ready to run for mayor.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could gather up everybody I know to make sure. Can you get him on your program?
Of course. Are you kidding? I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'll call him tomorrow morning.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, I know Russ.
Yeah, I know you know him.
Quite well. Yeah.
And I'm really excited about, you know, the young people in Newark and what they're doing, you know, particularly he and his crew.
Yeah.
You know, they're really working very hard.
Yeah.
And they're working and studying.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I've been paying attention. I have been following, you know. A good friend of mine is over there, Millie Harris, Milagros Harris, who you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she keeps me posted. I was over there, so I asked a couple times, as a matter of fact, and talked to him. Now, also, you know, we're all very close because of the fact that my nephew is now congressman, you know, in his father's place, Congressman Donald Payne. So how appropriate that Ross, should be right in that spot.
Yes.
What's going on in Newark politics? Let's talk about him. Let's really, you know, what is it, time for a break? We're getting the cue, but Shauna and Ayana. Ayana's coming up next in her show, but it's time for a break. How about this newfangled stuff? I mean, I can tell when I have to go, where I have to go, and so forth, and who's on, and, you know, isn't this great?
You get all the equipment in here.
Yeah, and this is Black Wax Studios, the Black Wax Moving Images Studios.
I'm very impressed with it.
Yeah, and it's GoPro Radio Network, and this is a dynamite young creative production team like you would believe. As a matter of fact, people wanted to see a video about Gus, they could go on, first of all, you'd have to go to YouTube. And then just type in, who is Gus Henningberg? And there is a video that Ty and, you know, the Black Wax Images team did. Shauna, Ayana, Lisa, my daughter was in, you know, and she was the producer of it, and so was Ayana and Ty. And we put all this together. And that's where that video came from.
It comes out on the
YouTube.
Computer?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes. If you go on your computer, you just go to YouTube, and then type in, who is Gus Henningberg?
Yeah.
And then that video comes up, and the first person you will see will be Sally Carroll. Yeah, so she's doing the tribute, and everybody's saying something. Yeah. So listen, stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live. I'm with Amiri Baraka, and this is Amina Baraka. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back.
Tune in to the GoPro Radio Network.
for an exciting lineup of shows. On Wednesdays at 6 p.m., it's the Eco-Socialist Horizons Hour with Joel Cavell, Ben Barson, and S.P. Whelan, your only source for connecting the dots between militarism, imperialism, climate change, and ecological crisis. Then at 7 p.m., it's the BCS Experience with Byron C. Saunders, history, art, culture, and politics in review and discussion. Then at 8 p.m., it's the Kate Thompson Show, giving you a closer look at the business, art, and politics of New Jersey. And last but not least, this is Ayanna Jones at 9 p.m., discussing all things creative, political, and creatively political. Only on the GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. www.goproradio.com. And we're back, everyone. We're back. K. Thompson Live. I'm here with Amina Baraka and Amiri Baraka, Mr. and Mrs. Baraka. And, wow, this is really a pleasure, you know, to see you two together. And, you know, it's really, you know, I mean, you're both playwrights. You're both writers. You're both jazz people. I was telling your husband before that I used one of his books in my class that I taught out there in Patterson College. I used blues people.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't know anything about teaching a course on the college level. I said, why are they calling me? And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, you know. But I did it, and I was nice. Amiri was nice enough to send me the book. And you also did send me a syllabus, which you probably won't remember, which is good because I still have it. I'm going to sell it and make money.
Well, as long as you taught the course, you know.
And it was based on blues people. A lot of wonderful information. Listen, let's go back to when you did the poem and you were a poet laureate. And then, you know, people tried to get you to resign from that spot and everybody in the community was very angry. How did you deal with that?
Well, you know, I just dissed them, actually. You know, because, first of all, you know, I said, most of you people are illiterate. You mean you haven't read a poem? You know, the things you're saying about it don't exist.
Mm.
So, therefore, whatever put you up to that, you know, which in poor Magribi, he called me the next day after I read the poem at the Dodge Poetry Festival. He said, you got to apologize and resign.
McGreevy said that?
Yeah. And I said, no, I can't apologize and resign. But then, ironically, a year later, he had to apologize and resign.
Yeah.
I thought that was
interesting. Come up and...
God don't love ugly.
No, not at all. Not at all.
But I don't know. He didn't join the seminary. I don't know what that means.
We will not go into that. Wonder why? Oh God, that was really something. Part of New Jersey politics. But what's your opinion now, both of you, on the way things are going in New Jersey right now? And be blunt. You know, I mean, we're not answering to anyone here on internet radio, so we can say exactly what we want. For instance, I can say yes, Baraka should be president of city council. Period. In out. He's got the proper qualifications and he's got the proper background for it and he knows New York politics and he's a darn good principal and he's interested in people and he's doing a whole lot of things over there at that high school. When I first walked into Central High School Arena not too long ago, a couple of years ago, I was absolutely amazed.
Yes,
I was
school.
At this a beautiful school, but also what the Raz. Control that Raz has. That was so unusual.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's created a great environment in there for children, you know, for the youth that's coming in.
Think that's the most important thing, the kind of vibe you create in a place.
And the people that he has working here, you know, under him, because I was doing something, you know, with the Board of Education at the time involved broadcasting and radio and television and whatnot. And the teachers that he has chosen for that school, they are absolutely extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Central High School. And people give New Jersey a bad rap. Why?
Well, that's for about money.
Yeah.
I mean, they put down Newark Education, but the state's been in charge of it for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's something wrong with it, it's not the city that's doing it.
It's the state.
The state people. They steal the money. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And now they send in a white person as a superintendent for the first time since, 1960s. And
Surf. Is his name Surf or Search? I forget.
What's his name?
Oh, you're talking about the superintendent of Newark.
Yeah.
I forget her name, yeah.
I forget it. I blank it out.
Mm.
But I'll tell
Andy.
You one. Who?
Candy.
Who?
Candy.
Where'd you get the name?
Candy.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we were at this education, dinner.
Mm.
And, Raz had invited me there to give me some kind of award. But anyway, there were like four or five of us who were getting these awards sitting at this table. And she comes up there with her son, supposed to be her son, and he rolls his wagon on the table. You know, he's rolling the wagon. We're sitting there to eat.
This is a little boy?
Yeah, a little boy. He's rolling this wagon up there. And so is that the spirit that you want to give to these kids? I mean, is that really, I mean, who would do such a thing? But that was Christie's choice. Christie's making the move. You know, the state is making the move. And why they won't give the city back its control of education? Because they're making money.
Mm.
They're lopping off money to keep for whatever Christie's products.
Why is that being held up? I know the money thing, but what is that all about?
What?
I mean, it's time to, give back to the city.
It's just racism.
Yeah.
I can't think of it.
And people don't know that's still in place, by the way.
Aside from the fact they're closing all the public schools to build charter schools.
Yeah, charter schools, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've turned education into a monopoly.
Yeah. Money machine.
That's right. They closed six public schools they closed, but they're opening three charter schools, new charter schools, down a block from Broad Street, a block from City Hall.
But they closed how many, six?
Six.
And open three.
They're going to open three. They're building brand new schools, charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
And to show you kind of duplicity, they got one charter school named the North Star. So I guess Harriet Tubman's probably rolling over in her grave.
Yeah.
The North Star. I mean, please, give us a break, you know. But those are the people running it. And see, they only can do that in poor cities. The people in the suburbs don't want charter schools.
Yeah.
So, again, look these colored folks in the head. That's what it turns out.
Yeah. We're trying to get the name of the superintendent of Newark. I should know, but I don't know right now.
Cammie Anderson.
Okay. And I think she was from New York.
Yeah.
You know, from the New York public school system, right?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her how could didn't she want Newark to have control of the schools? Didn't they want us to have self-determination? And she said, that's not her job. So I said, you mean to tell me you want to be superintendent and you don't want the parents to have the feeling of self-determination or the kids to know that their parents control the schools, that they really still have some kind of pseudo-slave mentality?
What was her reply?
She said, it's not her job.
Oh, we do have to go for a break, everyone. On that note, we will be right back. Kay Thompson Live. Stay with us.
Tune into the GoPro Radio Network for an exciting lineup of shows. On Wednesdays at 6 p.m., it's the Eco-Socialist Horizons Hour with Joel Cavell, Ben Barson, and S.P. Whelan, your only source for connecting the dots between militarism, imperialism, climate change, and ecological crisis. Then at 7 p.m., it's the BCS Experience with Byron C. Saunders, history, art, culture, and politics in review and discussion. Then at 8 p.m., it's the Kay Thompson Show, giving you a closer look at the business, art, and politics of New Jersey. And last but not least, this is Ayanna Jones at 9 p.m., discussing all things creative, political, and creatively political. Only on the GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. www.goproradio.com.
We're back, everyone. Kay Thompson Live here. That's me. As a matter of fact, and I know, Amina, you and Amiri know that there's the 33rd annual Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series on Saturday, starting February 16th. That's 9 a.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. at the Paul Robeson Campus Center in Rutgers University in Newark. And I promised Professor Clem Price that I'd be mentioning this. And, of course, you know, we're all going to be there. And hopefully we're going to be seeing you there. What is that? By the way, when is the next time that you're going to be doing some, you know, poetry readings? Both of you are putting something on, you know, because really that, whenever you the two of you get on stage, either together or separately, preferably together. But, I mean, there's a certain air. There's a certain creative, you know, cultural power that happens when you're all over there. I remember that so well, that program that you did down there. I was absolutely sitting there fascinated. And Gus and I both were fascinated by it.
I hope we can do something in February, you know. Black
really? Summer. Really? Yeah? Are you really planning something or what?
Probably we'll do a poetry reading, poetry and music, you know. Mm.
Well, you know, the only reason why I went to the Dodge Festival, you know, poetry was because it's to hear you.
Well, they didn't
so what happened?
They didn't want to invite me. They told me they weren't going to invite me because I had been there too much.
Because you had been there too much.
Mm. So I didn't respond because I knew that wasn't going to happen. You know? Mm. 2 weeks later, the guy sneaked up on me. I was speaking at Rutgers, he sneaked behind me and said, you know, we want you to come to Dodge Poetry Festival. I mean, he actually thought that he could come into Newark and do that, and I didn't think he could, you know, so I didn't say anything.
Who is he?
The guy who's running it. What's his name? I don't know the guy. I can't think of his name.
Mm.
But, yeah, they wanted to nix me from that, but I don't think that they could really get away with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think not only the black people, but I think some white people talked to him, too, told him that wasn't a practical solution.
I'm not going to comment on that. But really, let's go back. What do you think about the way the Obama administration, you know, is handling themselves?
Well, I think that, you know, people are disappointed. A lot of people are disappointed. But I tell them, I don't think that if you thought that he was going to change monopoly capitalism and change this imperialist state in 3.5 years, you haven't been paying attention.
Yeah.
Because it cannot change like that. I think he's done some good things. I think a lot in his foreign policy I don't like.
Mm.
The whole invasion of Libya I thought was very silly, and that ended up with, you know, just some crazy, you know, just, what can you call it, wild stuff happening, even the loss of the American ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think they should be interfering with our stuff in Syria, which they're getting ready to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting ready to put 35 stations in Africa. You know?
35?
Yeah. They said 35 different places. And they even announced yesterday that they were going to have, what do they call it, non-explosive drones. They were going to have drones that don't bomb. They're spy drones that they're going to put all over Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a higher level of imperialist kind of control as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of things Obama does not have to do.
Yeah.
You know. But there's, you know, the lobbyists, the whole Congress, for instance, nothing but a lobby for private enterprise. They want to make the United States a corporate dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get rid of the government. That's what these people are saying. Get rid of the government. The government, you know, like Tea Party.
Yeah.
Tea Party is just like the Klan. You know, they came in after the Emancipation Proclamation. Black people thought they were free.
Mm-hmm.
Then shows up the Klan, shows up the Black Codes, you know, all those things. And it's the same thing. After Obama's election, you think you're going to take a step up.
Yeah.
And suddenly the Republicans take off those white robes and show up to Congress with the same line. You know, the Tea Party, they got the same line, you know.
Is the country really moving in the direction of, you know, getting rid of the Republican Party? And I say that because their way of thinking is so, what, early 1800s or something. We see the Klan.
Well, one thing,
you
know
in
where
so
they
many,
are.
Yeah.
they don't know what country they're in.
Mm.
Their demographics are way off.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for them, I mean, they thought they were going to just wipe Obama out.
Yeah.
You see, but see, that contempt they have for a community organizer, when he first said it was a community organizer, they had nothing but contempt.
Mm.
But now they know what a community organizer does,
mm.
you know. Because
yeah.
one thing you can say about Obama, if you can't say nothing else, he showed us how to kick a Republican's butt.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah.
You know, and they got the most money. They spend the most money. They have all these secret PACs, and they got Citizens United,
yeah.
you know, all those things.
And now they're getting ready to try to eliminate the vote. To try to control the vote, you know, still doing that kind of nonsense. We've been through that.
Well, what can I say? It's the job, he wanted that job, you got that job, and part of that job is dealing with idiots.
Yeah.
And straight out devils. You know.
When you look forward, I mean, what do you see as the government becoming? I mean, there are so many different cultures, quote unquote. That we have. There's so many different people. They're, for instance, they're dealing with the immigration policy right now.
Well,
what's going to happen?
I believe that they need to do away with the Electoral College.
Yeah.
The popular vote. It should be one, you know, one vote. And there's many things I think Obama could have spoken about that he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that even Dr. King, you know, people like to call his name, but they won't have a poor people's campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're not doing anything about this country and the economic conditions that these people are in at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment is, I don't know what to say
yeah.
about the unemployment. There are people mm-hmm. out on the street begging. You know, there are
more
no
than
jobs.
Ever. Right.
More than ever. Mm-hmm. And
more
than
ever.
And also the question of police brutality and the question of black leadership and so forth, you know, his cabinet. I don't understand why there are not many more people of color in there, particularly
yeah.
Afro-Americans
mm-hmm.
and African-American women. You know, mm-hmm. those are questions that I would like to have a conversation with him about. You know, I'm not going to put him down the way I would like to because of the Tea
yeah.
Party.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to give them
the satisfaction,
satisfaction of doing anything. But I will say this, that he should put our people and poor people
first. Absolutely.
And he should have the courage to stand up to these people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's this administration. I liked his speech at the end when he decided, for instance, that he was going to stand up for gay rights. And
yes.
he was going to stand up for immigration
mm-hmm.
and you know, anything on the gun control, you know, I think that's very important because guns, like my son said, guns come in our community illegally.
Yeah.
So none of that's going to affect us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they, our children get shot down in the street every day,
every day.
The time,
mm-hmm.
and particularly in the place where he comes from, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And this topic of guns and fighting the NRA, he should have been doing that
yeah,
a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always talk about the Second Amendment, but the Second Amendment don't apply to black cities.
Yeah.
It never did.
Mm-hmm.
You can't holler Second Amendment and get no gun in New York.
How is it that they are able to get these assault weapons, these guns that shoot more than 10 rounds and,
well,
you know
outside,
what I mean, just
outside
you know.
Of the main, outside of the
what do you
city?
Use them from? Four. There aren't any elephants here.
Blow an animal apart.
Mm.
You can't get those guns in the cities, you know. But they have all these gun shows, all these gun
yeah.
shops. Outside of the city you can get them. But in the cities, they come illegally. People in the back, out the back of their trunk.
Yeah.
Sell those things. You know. So it's the Second Amendment never meant from black people.
Yeah. But why are they holding on so? What is it they expect to gain, or are they still involved with controlling?
I think they're trying to stop a revolution that's bound
that's
to take place
what
in
I
this
was
country.
Thinking, yeah.
They're protecting themselves against their ability to oppress people, and no people are going to remain oppressed forever.
Yeah.
And they know that sooner or later people are going to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's exactly
what's coming.
Yeah, what's coming. We mm-hmm. They have no choice. They
mm-hmm.
have no choice.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, listen, We are running out of time, but we're still, what time do we have? We have, I'm looking at a, we have 15 minutes? You're saying 15 minutes? Hot dog. All right, so let's talk cultural art. Let's talk poetry. Is there something that you would, you know, really bless us with, a poem, either of you or both of you?
I got a poem.
He reaches in his pocket. I have a poem. Just happen to have one. Wonderful.
Oh,
and we're just going to happen to listen. You thought you had one. Amina?
I got a right to sing the blues.
Oh, wow.
I got a right to feel low down. I got a right to fight imperialism. 'Cause this old racist state is trying to bring my people down. I got a right. I got a right to sing the blues.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. Thank you, thank you. Okay, Mary.
This is a poem I read at the church. That's why it's in my diary.
Okay, all right.
Revelations. The worst criminals are completely legal. They have laws saying they can steal. The worst murderers are completely legal. They have laws saying it's perfectly cool for them to kill. Why is this? Because this is hell. Haven't you guessed? The real question is not how to keep from going to hell. The real question is how to get out.
That's why I got a right to sing the blues.
I'm going to start singing the blues myself. That was wonderful. You just picked it up and just went with it. Boy, oh boy. Listen, will you guys come back sometime soon?
Sure.
You know?
Find the joint.
Yeah. We are here at BW Moving Images in Jersey City, everyone, and we are part of GoPro Radio Network. And if you want to, by the way, all our shows are archived. So you can always go on, you know, the YouTube or GoPro Radio Network, right? We're going to go for a break, but it's going to be www.goproradionetwork.com, and you can go to Kay Thompson Live, and, you know, you will always hear the programs. As a matter of fact, I'm inviting you right now to come back many, 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 many times.
All right.
Would you please? All right? Okay. Amina Baraka, okay. Amiri Baraka. Stay with us, everyone. Time for a break. We will be right back.
Tune in to the GoPro Radio Network for an exciting lineup of shows. On Wednesdays at 6 p.m., it's the Eco-Socialist Horizons Hour with Joel Cavell, Ben Barson, and S.P. Whelan, your only source for connecting the dots between militarism, imperialism, climate change, and ecological crisis. Then at 7 p.m., it's the BCS Experience with Byron C. Saunders, history, art, culture, and politics in review and discussion. Then at 8 p.m., it's the Kay Thompson Show, giving you a closer look at the business, art, and politics of New Jersey. And last but not least, this is Ayanna Jones at 9 p.m., discussing all things creative, political, and creatively political, only on the GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head at www.goproradio.com.
And we are back. Kay Thompson Live. We joined by and with Ayanna Jones. How are you?
Hi, me.
Hi, me. Amina Jones and Amiri Baraka. What am I saying, Jones? Amina and Amiri Baraka.
Sister.
You know? Anyway, this is Ayanna. And I had invited her in at the top of the show, but I kind of forgot about it because I was so fascinated with the two of you coming in. So, what do you have to say?
Well, first of all, let me just say that I'm honored to be here at GoPro Radio Network and have Amiri Baraka and also Amina, the lovely Amina, not just on the show, but in our studios, people. So this is a revolutionary moment for us.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, you know, reading about and hearing about Amiri, and then just through, like, the work that I've been doing in terms of social change and revolutionary action, to actually meet you, so much so that, you know, we travel in some of the same circles. I just feel like, okay, yeah, I'm doing the right thing.
Well, tell them about, you know, your show coming up.
Well, in just a few moments, I was out there preparing, and she was like, get in here. But I have my own show called This is Ayanna Jones on the network, and we discuss all things political, creative, and creatively political.
Uh-huh.
So I usually have, I make sure to have a mixture of artists, particularly those who are independent and who are talking about something worth listening to. And then also folks who are active on the political landscape, so that my listeners get a real mix of what it's like on the front lines from all different aspects, from those who are activists, who are warriors, and those who use their talent and their creativity to back up the message that these, you know, these warriors and these activists live every day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. So we're more or less, you know, hanging on your threads.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, because there's that lifeline, and we still have access to the airwaves. We didn't have it for a long period of time with the disappearance of black radio.
That's right.
Right? And we just didn't have this gold mine right at our midst, if not for GoPro, you know, radio.
Right.
And not for Ty and you, Ayanna, and Shauna, and, you know, the rest of the family here. And it's been absolutely wonderful. I loved it. Gus loved it.
And not and also, if I could just interject.
Sure.
And not without you, you know. And not, and again, not without Amiri, not without Nina. You know, when you talk about the coattails, we really do, we are coming up, you know, behind a great legacy of history, of professionalism in radio. I mean, I got my inspiration to be on the radio, honestly, partly from you. I met you for the first time, and I thought to myself, this is a lady, and she's doing it on the radio, and, I want to do that. I want to be able to command that kind of audience. So you guys have been our role models. Mm-hmm. You've been our examples.
Well, see, they've been my role models. For years and years and years, I wanted to be a stone activist.
What do you mean, wanted to be?
I mean, I wasn't doing what I was. Well, I don't know, over there on LIB, you know, we really started trouble over there. You know, in fact, I was going by what you all were doing. You know, something happened, you know, that we were going to put it on the air, you know, nobody stopped me. You know, but I really think that they didn't really take me seriously at WLIB. So, therefore, when somebody was starting something, I just fell right in line with what's going on.
Where are they now? LIB, that's just kaput.
Yeah. There were money troubles and all that kind of stuff. You know, really, who knows? Long story. I could get people in here to tell you all about it. You know, we've been you know, getting information and whatnot, but it's too long, you know.
I'm really impressed with this.
Isn't this wonderful? It is wonderful.
We're very
if not for Ty Washington, this place would not have existed. He also filled in for Donald at the Congressional Black Caucus a couple of times.
Yep.
You know, so I had, you know, moderated for Donald, you know, for the Donald Penny, for the Congressional Black Caucus, and then Ty brought him in, and it's just been wonderful. You know, and Ayanna and Shauna there were there, and so.
Can I ask Amiri a question?
No. Why are you asking?
May I ask? Is my grammar incorrect? Okay. What does it take? And this is not a pretentious question. This is coming from me. I'm also a writer. And I'll tell you, the spoken word scene nowadays, you know, I mean, most of these folks get up there and they basically read their diaries out loud. And I just feel like, you know, I have this book called The Anthology of Black Poetry, and it's got some of the classics in it. You know, you're in there. Langston Hughes is in there. And what does it take to be a real poet nowadays, in your opinion?
Well, the decision to be poor must survive this.
Okay, I got that check.
You got that. Bam. And then I guess the question to never stop investigating reality. You know, because I think a lot of people who want to be poets, they think what that means is you just write what comes in your mind.
Mm.
But the question with any art, is study. You know, it's like, you know, I always give this example of Billy the Kid. He's walking down the street with his nephew, and his nephew says, Billy, make me a whistle. He sees these reeds over there. So Billy says, pow, shoots. And so the little boy says, Billy, how did you hit that reed without aiming? He said, I'm always aiming.
Okay.
So that's the poem.
Yeah.
You always are thinking about what can be that. Even if it never is, you know, because poetry comes from the world. That's why a lot of these people are so dull, because they try to take everything from their head and not the world.
Mm.
Right.
world is the source.
And that's true. I mean, that's why, you know, poets are supposed to be griots, those people that kind of comment on the times.
Yep.
So, you know, if you look back in history, you have different people from different periods, and somehow that tradition is lost, whereas it's like, okay, Deaf Poetry Jam, I'm going to get up there and, you know, I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to whisper. And then you're going to be like, oh, snap, you know, this guy's great. That's like, but he's not talking about anything. He's talking about his cat.
Yeah, that's so pathetic.
Well, the whole thing has got a capitalist cast to it. Sure, you know, I mean, you reading to get some kind of immediate response.
Right.
You know, and that is sort of downgrading poetry to where it's just like that.
If you were to tell colleges, you know, to give them an idea of what they could put in their courses for their students, you know, to strengthen them, period, to deal with the world. And I'm talking about, you know, this mixed group of people that we have. What would you say to them? What kind of things would you put into the college? Books,
you,
or
I'll tell you why I got fired.
Or speaking, or, you know.
I'll tell you why I got fired from Rutgers. I told them that this is the last bastion of colonialism in the world, in the university. You teach English literature, you teach French drama, you teach German philosophy, but what do you teach about the Western Hemisphere? You don't even teach much about white people in the Western Hemisphere.
Yeah.
But you definitely don't teach anything about Afro-Americans. You don't even teach much Canadian poetry. You don't teach nothing about Mexico, you know what I mean, Chile, Cuba, you know. In other words, you don't teach much about colored people on the planet.
Period.
Right? Even here, nothing. So, you know, that's true. You if you